Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. You are beautiful, Lord. We are weak. We need more of you, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord. You went to the cross. You died for our sins. You rose again, Lord. Be with us tonight. Fill this place with the Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated for a before I get started, I just want to, I was watching Marvin up here, and I can echo what he was saying about, you know, being nervous, and you guys are really blessed that you do have Pastor Mike. I tell you, he's a good pastor, and you guys are really blessed that you do have him. But I'm a little nervous tonight. I'm going to probably pronounce some names wrong or something, but please bear with me. Thank you for coming out tonight. Okay, let's stand. I'll read. We'll be in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We just ask for understanding of it, Lord. Be with us tonight as we go through these little verses, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He's part of the Sanhedrin, which I read 70 or 70, it depends on where you read, but either 70 or 71 was the Sanhedrin. So he's, what I kind of want to get at tonight is religion and Jesus, how the spiritual part of it. Nicodemus was a very religious man. They did the old, you know, the Old Testament, the law and all that. They really abide by that. I think what Jesus was trying to get at was that, you know, the spiritual part of it, not so much the religious part of it. I've been asked numerous times, what religion are you? And I say, well, I'm not really, I am religious in some ways, but I'm a believer. And they ask, what do you believe in? And I say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came and died for our sins, you know, and he rose again. That's a Christian, but I remember saying to somebody once that I was a Christian, and they said, oh, you're one of those, you know, no, you think you're better than me? And I said, no, no, not at all. I'm no better than nobody. I just, you know, so many people ask me now, you know, what I am. I say, I'm a believer, you know, in Jesus Christ, but anyway, let's get into it here. So, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, We know that thou art a teacher. So, Nicodemus and the other Pharisees saw something in Jesus. And so, it says that Nicodemus came to him by night. And, you know, people say, why by night? Or, you know, but that ain't really, you know, the main thing here, what he's getting at. So verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's room and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So that's what Nicodemus didn't understand, was the spiritual part of it. He cannot, you know. So what I'd like to do, well, verse 6 says, "The which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So what I'd like to do is go to Ezekiel, if you would please, chapter 37. And this reference is it's about the Spirit, but it's mostly a part about Israel as a nation coming coming together again, which, but excuse me, I'm a little nervous. Please forgive me. I'm trying to get through this here. Okay, verse 37, verse 1. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord of God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of their graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." So, the spirit, I like this, the vision of the dry bones. Like I say, it's the vision of the dry bones is Israel, and then it's a prophesied about coming back to a nation, which happened May 14th, 1948. But, before we come to know the Lord, we're kind of like dry bones, just walking around, you know, not really being alive. But when we accept the Lord, he breathes the Spirit into us, and that's when we get to accept the Holy Spirit. So, and that's what he's trying to convey to Nicodemus there, back in John chapter 3. And let's go to verse 6 again. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound whereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that was born of the Spirit." Okay, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" So now we go to verse 11. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall we believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Okay, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, let's turn to Numbers chapter 20, please. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 20. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water or of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with thy sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage to his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Or. So they were traveling. There was only like, I think, 2 or 3 weeks away from entering the promised land. And they were going to go through this way. And then they sent some messengers out to King Edom. And to understand the whole thing, the Edomites, they hated God. They were descendants of Esau. But to read the whole thing, you got to read Obadiah. It kind of explains it. But anyway, they couldn't pass the shortcut, so they had to go a roundabout way. So if you turn with me to please Numbers 21 in verse 4, we read about the fiery snakes, and I don't like snakes. Verse 4, chapter 21. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So they were complaining that they had to go around about. They were complaining about the manna that they were eating. They were just not very happy in that situation. So, what kind of neat though, I'll continue on here, but verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So again, they were complaining. So the Lord put some snakes out there where they were at. They were being bitten all the time, dying. So they finally had enough. And then they they came to Moses and said, "We're tired of this." So the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fire of serpent and set it upon a pole." Brass is a term of judgment. So they made this pole with a brass serpent on it. And when they looked upon it, they were healed. That's kind of like, you know, when you look to Jesus or look to the cross or whatever. It's kind of a thing now. You look to the cross where Jesus was, and, you know, you be saved, you know. You got to believe in Jesus. I mean, you know, we continue on in John, but, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to have been there when that was going on. I remember one time my wife put a fake snake in our bed, and I pulled back the sheets, and, you know, this rubber snake popped up, man. I wasn't too neat, but so I couldn't imagine what these guys were going through. Every, you know, walking in any bush, you know, always afraid of a snake. But anyway, so that was pretty good there. But I'm going to go to another passage. But it's 2 Kings. It's about this same thing that they started worshiping it instead of it. Actually, they carried this for a number of years, this thing with them, and then it became a object of like idolatry or like a pagan god to them. So anyway, let's go to 2 Kings and all. It's kind of neat how Hezekiah handles it. 2 Kings, let's see, chapter 18, I'm sorry, chapter 18 of 2 Kings. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. I kind of like this Hezekiah. He's like only 25 years old when he started the kingdom here. His father, let him worship the false gods and everything. So Hezekiah comes in and says, you know, I can't do that. So anyway, verse 2, 25 years old was when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, and daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves, the grooves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. I don't know, that's kind of neat, you know, that we all have our false gods that we worship. Earlier I said I was religious. Earthly things I worship. I don't worship, but, you know, you ask me religion, and, you know, I get into guns sometimes, so like Winchester or Remington, you know. That's my, you know, that's my false god, or Peter Belt or Kenworth, you know, something like that. But anyway, you know, we all have our false things that, and you know, we should keep our eyes focused on Jesus. You know, I don't know. We all have our little things, but I think if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, just, you know, try to follow Him and do His thing, that I think life will go a whole lot better. Anyway, let's go back to John chapter 3. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now we get to the verse 16, which everybody knows by heart. Anybody can memorize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just a page over on John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Back to John. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 24. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Back to chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, it's so easy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know. I don't know if people think it's a pretty easy understanding, but you know, you wonder why people, don't see that part of it. You know, it's like, well, do I have to do this, or don't I have to do this to be saved? No, you just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to give $5 to somebody. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's a free gift. No. It's pretty amazing to me that he came down, you know, for our sins. I don't know. But he's a loving God. He's very, you know, was the biggest sinner there was. I can't imagine him loving me, you know, giving his life for me. It blows me away that, you know, somebody could love us that much, that he would die for us and give us eternal life. You know, you're condemned to hell, but through him we are saved and have eternal life in heaven. So it's a pretty amazing thing. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 just for a minute, kind of go back to the serpent and verse most everybody knows, but 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when they put the brass serpent on the pole, it was kind of a thing of Jesus going to the cross for us to take our sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing to me. Go to Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But through we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than as which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I speak to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's Paul talking to the church of Galatia there. But we got to be careful of false religions or false teachers, actually, that if they teach any other thing but, you know, the true gospel, which is the gospel is the truth, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you know, we got to be careful of that. So, like I say, just stay focused on Jesus. Stay in his word. Just meditate on him. And in my prayer tonight, I know I'm kind of fumbling around up here, but my main prayer tonight, if anybody's here is not saved, that tonight, you know, they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I've dealt with people that, you know, actually weren't very nice to me, you know, and, you know, make fun of you or whatever. But even them people, you don't want to, you know, see them burn. So, you know, I don't want to see anybody burn. And it's a terrible place. Could you imagine a world without God? Or, I don't know. You know, I got to thinking one time, would it be like if you were on the space shuttle and you got called out to do something outside, you know, you got cut off. You know, you spend your whole life just circling orbit, you know what I mean? Nobody, just, no God, you know, nobody there, just circling around. Yeah, but then you're going to be burning, so. But, I mean, I don't like to preach that, but, you know, you are, that's what it says, you know, you're going to burn in hell, and that's it's a sad thing. And, like, I don't want nobody to do that, so. Anyway, let's go to 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. 2 Peter, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What I'd like to do is just take a few minutes and have a silent prayer for somebody we know, maybe somebody you work with, so, you know, parents, children, somebody you know that's not saved. And I just want to spend a few minutes in silent prayer, just praying for that person. Just pray that somehow, you know, you can witness to them, or you are a witness to them, or somehow they just know to come to know Jesus. So let's bow our heads and just take a few minutes to pray. Father God, we come to you tonight. Lord, would you lift up the unsaved to you, Lord? We pray that none perish, Lord. Just come to a knowledge of you, Lord. I thank you for this time, Lord. I know it was kind of fumbling around, Lord, but I do thank you that I got a few things out, Lord. We love your word, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, like I say, you went to the cross, Lord, for our sins. You shed your blood for us that didn't deserve it, Lord. You rose again on the third day, Lord. What a blessing it is to know you, Lord. Just pray for more knowledge of you, Lord. Be more bold in you, Lord. We just praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.